In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We Christians who are fully understanding of the reason that Christ came know that he came in order that we might be one with God. We are created in such a way that we cannot be human. We cannot be fully human unless we live at one with God. In the Epistle to the Hebrews this morning, we heard the statement that we have a high priest different from the kind of high priest that the Jews had in the temple. The high priest in the temple of Jerusalem had to go in once a year and sacrifice for his sins and for the sins of the people. But our high priest, St. Paul says, has already taken care of that once and for all, for everyone. He himself is sinless, and he came into the world in order to destroy the root reason behind every sin that every human being has ever committed, the fear of death. Death is destroyed. This high priest is the same one who destroyed death on the cross and ascended to sit on the right hand of the Father. And it is from there that he works the work of being our high priest. St. Paul says that we have a high priest who is holy, who is at one with our humanity. He sits at the right hand of God, the Father, in our humanity fulfilled, our humanity as it was meant to be from the beginning. No human being who has ever been born in the world or ever will be born in the world is foreign to Christ because their humanity is fulfilled in him. And as our high priest, he intercedes for us in a way that was unimaginable until he did all of the work that he did, taking on our humanity, destroying the power of death on the cross, and ascending to sit at the right hand of God the Father, and from there being our high priest. Everything that we do at one with God, we do because of our humanity being fulfilled in Christ there at the right hand of God. If we do something that is righteous, filled with divine love, it glorifies God the Father, and it witnesses to the dominion of the Holy Spirit. That's what Cyril of Alexandria said. That's a change in the world. The world is changed by the coming of Christ, by what he did on the cross, and by his sitting at the right hand of the Father in our humanity. In our humanity, he intercedes for us because whenever we act in accord with our own humanity as it is at one with God, we are doing so by way of him, because he has fulfilled all of that for us. He makes it possible for us to do that. That's how he intercedes for us. We heard him say, "I am the door. Enter into the kingdom of God through me." And we heard the parable of the Good Samaritan. The bottom line of the parable of the Good Samaritan is this: every neighbor in need is a door into the kingdom of God. Every neighbor in need is the presence of Christ to us. And when we act toward that neighbor with divine love, we do so through the power of Christ sitting on the right hand of the Father. When we act in that way, we glorify the Father and the dominion of the Holy Spirit. That is the spiritual reality of the world as it has been remade by Christ. St. Peter says in the 10th chapter of Acts that he sees, and if you remember, there was a time when he did not see this, he sees that God does not prefer one people over another, does not prefer the Jews over the Gentiles, but that whenever someone acts in righteousness God received them. St. Cyril says, Christ receives any good act that glorifies the Father in the dominion of the Holy Spirit. It all has to do with our action in synergy with Him, at one with Him. In other words, any good act that is done at one with Him, any good act that is done at one with God. Before God came into the world and destroyed the power of death, that was not possible for us. We could be decent and righteous according to the letter of the law, but it didn't change us. It didn't fulfill us. Christ came into the world and fulfilled the law by fulfilling our humanity and made it possible for every good act that we do at one with Him to be an act of oneness with God. That's how God changed the world. And it's interesting that when the lawyer that we heard of comes to Jesus and asks his question, the answer that he received is given in light of this foundational reality of the world as it is meant to be and is fulfilled in Christ. That our acts of divine love toward others are acts at one with God through Christ. The lawyer comes and he intends to try to trip up Jesus. And he asks Jesus, what must he do in order to be saved? And his answer is letter perfect. Love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus says, and it's surprising that he says this, do this and you will live. What does that mean? Does it mean that following the law will give you eternal life? It does mean that following the law will give you eternal life. But the fact of the matter is that the law cannot be followed. The law cannot be fulfilled except through Christ. What does that mean when we say through Christ? Do we ever think about it? We pull the word out of the Gospels and out of the letters of St. Paul, and we always say, well, through Christ. It is something that God made possible by becoming incarnate, dying on the cross, ascending, sitting on the right hand of the Father, and being our high priest. So that the actions that we do by repenting of what we, a lot of the times, would rather do, be selfish, we sacrifice, we reorient ourselves toward God, and we love our neighbor as ourselves. When we do that, we are uniting ourselves to God the Father through the Son and in the Holy Spirit. We are acting in Christ when we do that. The world had to be changed in order to make that possible. It was not possible before the incarnation, crucifixion, resurrection, ascension. But now it is possible. And that is the way the world was meant to be. That is the way God created the world to be, and the way the world was created to be has been fulfilled, and it is that way now. From God's point of view, it has always been that way, and it always will be that way. Any deviation from that is something that just needs to be brought back and gotten on the track again. And so Jesus answers the lawyer when he asks that question, who is my neighbor? In a way that is in agreement with all of these other things that we have said. Who is my neighbor? Now you see, if the lawyer had gone on and naively followed the words that he had given, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength, and your neighbor as yourself, he could have come under that inclusion of human beings, people of all cultures, that St. Peter made when he said God does not prefer one people to another. Anyone who acts righteously along with him, he accepts. He could have gone his way and lived according to that, but he didn't want to do that. He wanted to justify himself. Who is my neighbor? How about the fine print down at the bottom? Well, the fact of the matter is that the Jews had you know, they were advanced spiritually for their era, in that they dealt with one another according to the letter of the law, as Christians ought to deal with everyone, but only with one another, within the community of Israel. And so it is a meaningful question that the lawyer asks. Who is my neighbor? How far does that extend? And Jesus' answer comes in the form of the parable that we know so well. There is a Samaritan that is going to do something good, a good Samaritan. Well, first of all, that's a strange thing. From the point of view of the Jews, the Samaritans are incapable of doing anything good. They don't live like the people who are called to be the people of God. They live in some lesser kind of moral and spiritual way. But in this case, someone who is not part of the community, not part of Israel, does something that is approved by God, as Peter says, regardless of what nation they are a member of, regardless of what people they are a member of. It is the Samaritan who helps the man who has been beaten up by robbers and left by the side of the road. The priest and the Levite both hurry by him. They no doubt have important things that they need to do. Priests are always like that. They have to serve in the temple, and they've got to be there. I've given this kind of explanation to policemen when they stop me for speeding, but it doesn't always work. So they're in a hurry, and they rush by. But the Samaritan sees this man, and he is the one who stops and treats him like a neighbor, like a brother. Takes care of him the way you would do if it were a child of your own. You wouldn't think twice. You would stop immediately and take care of that person. And this is what the Samaritan does. He makes that man a neighbor to himself by the way he acts. He treats this person with divine love. And this is clear even to the lawyer. There's no way that he can get out of it. When Jesus asks him, which of these three men has been a neighbor to this person? And the lawyer has to answer, the Samaritan. Go thou and do likewise, and you will have eternal life. Imagine that. Now, how can that be? We can only act with divine love in synergy, in cooperation, in communion with God. Whenever you see someone acting in that kind of way, Jesus Christ is involved. He is involved because he has become the central reality of the universe since the work that he did. And it applies to everyone. We cannot do an action of divine love that doesn't involve God. When we do some act like this, making our enemy into a neighbor by treating them as a neighbor, by coming close to them because they are a person who is in need, and we go and we fulfill their need, not being concerned about what their faith is or what their race is or what their nationality is, but loving them with this kind of divine love, can we do that without God? We can. And since God came into the world and did the work that he did, that ends up with him sitting on the right hand of the Father, in our humanity, when we fulfill our humanity in this way by doing things like this, it is an act of oneness with our humanity fulfilled in Christ. That's the nature of being a human being. There is something objective about it. The ultimate truth of being a human being is a moral and spiritual truth. There is where our identity lies hidden. It's not a matter of attaining things that the world will admire us for. God is not a respecter of persons. It all has to do with our action at one with him, in synergy with him. That is possible because
of the work of Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.